Welcome to today's South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations conference call. Participation in this call is by express invitation of SDAHO only. Unauthorized participants and or any party that aids and abets such unauthorized participants may be subject to criminal and civil penalties under both state and federal law. Please disconnect from the call if SDAHO did not expressly invite your participation. A question and answer session will follow the presentation and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you all for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Duke.
Thank you, operator, and many thanks to everyone for taking the time today to join the call. We are enjoying, of course, some really unusual warm weather, but of course the calm before the storm. So hopefully as we get colder and winter resumes, everyone will be able to be safe in their travels. So let me go ahead and start with a little bit on the federal side, and we have a briefer update today with Congress being out on President Daybreak, and then Deborah will share some updates from the state side, and we'll have time for question at the end. So first on the calendar, it is the week-long break for President's Day, so Congress is out. They return next week, and then we'll be in for the next 5 weeks, mostly maybe a Monday or Friday off for travel through the first week in April, and then we'll be out on a two-week recess when we hit Easter, which happens on the 16th this year of April. And then they will be back in. During this time, of course, what we're going to have is the break. Congress is working toward what will be the framework of repeal and replace, and they have shared some on that, but it's sorely lacking in the details which are needed to really bring forward a more meaningful update, but we'll share what we know. One more thing on the calendar before we move on to the repeal and replace. We are going to run up against the federal debt limit, which will occur in March, and then that will have to be dealt with in April then by the timelines. And so what's going to occur along with all that's going on with the first reconciliation bill, all of the other things around regulatory changes, executive orders, is also dealing with the debt ceiling and then what we'll be at to meet that. So stay tuned. So on the repeal and replace, Representative Tom Price has been confirmed, as we said, for HHS Secretary. And what that means is over the weekend he met with President Trump, and they have come forward and said that they anticipate bringing forward their plan from the administration on repeal and replace, repair, in the next 2 weeks. There are several who think that that timeline is optimistic, but they're saying that, so we want to make sure we stay tuned to that. Again, this is all about how we're messaging, so we'll talk more about how that messaging has been working, is working, and ask you to continue to do that on behalf of, you know, both our hospital and post-acute members. So the Republicans released last Thursday, actually, kind of what they're calling a blueprint. As I said, it's short on details, but what is in there is some of the things that have been in Speaker Ryan's A Better Way. They talk about per capita caps. They're talking about how the vouchers may work or in terms of Medicaid. And so what's in there now is given some unrest to the insurance marketplace for sure. And so what's key for us is that we and they want to stay focused on, no matter what they bring forward, making sure that, they don't destabilize the insurance marketplace. And to that end, the CBO on that blueprint will be scoring it out. They're turning it around quickly, maybe this week or next week. And so be watching for more information to come out about how the numbers around coverage are scored out and what is in the blueprint, because, of course, the key will be how do the numbers work? Are they real numbers in terms of how coverage will work? Where are the tax subsidies going to come into play there? Because that's a big piece of what's in the blueprint. And then just overall how that's going to affect the potential for Medicaid changes. Watch for that. And I think right now it's really a challenge for us to keep on message, but we need to keep delivering that same message, which is you can't repeal without replacing. And if you do that, then of course when we come back to the subsidies, they need to be replaced. So on the calendar of of repeal and replace, there is a meeting of the Energy and Commerce Committee set up for February 28th when they get back, or maybe March 1st. Either way, they would start doing the workup or the markup then. That date could slip depending upon what happens with the Trump and the administration plan. So under Medicaid, if you were able to catch and participate in the AHA conference call last Friday, we have been working as a field on what are known as the principles around whatever change may come in addition to the repeal of the ACA, around, where we see Medicaid, if the changes are brought forward, what we stand for. That principles document is being finally vetted through the AHA board and others, and we will have that available soon. It won't be new news in terms of what we stand for around that. And the good news is we're actually step in step with our leadership here in South Dakota with Governor Dugard, Secretary Kim Olson-Ryerson, who will be attending the Governor's Association meeting later this week or and then next week. Governor Dugard, who speaks later today at a rural district meeting, will be sharing some updates on the federal side as they anticipate things to get moving as well with Medicaid. It's good to know that we have a strong voice and a strong connection from the governor's office. Just a couple other federal updates, and I'll give it to Deborah. One on the travel ban. You probably have heard by now that the president expects to issue a new travel ban on the seven countries of origin to reduce or minimize travel. That's not out yet. As soon as it's out, we will be sharing additional updates, likely from our national partners, and see where all of that goes. And then on the regulatory front, because a lot of the attention has been on the ACA and Medicaid, but there is action and activity going on the, the so-called two-for-one, but there hasn't been much in the healthcare space. With Secretary Price in place, we expect that to pick up. And so we do, as a reminder, have a survey out. We asked everyone to share their feedback on the top 10 issues, both hospital and nursing home, post-acute side. And we will use that to develop, the prioritization around a litany of regulatory sides of things that we want to talk about and then have our congressional delegation and the president's cabinet help us with in terms of repealing or replacing those burdensome regulations. So I'll stop there and I'll give the line over to Deborah and we'll give you an update on the state side and look forward to questions.
Thank you so much, Scott, and looking forward to giving you an update on what's happening here in Pierce, South Dakota. It's been a busy week. I know we just started our first legislative day. So today I'll talk about the legislative calendar, the current issues, and some future issues for you to talk about when you get back to your members. Okay, let's move forward to the legislative calendar. We're entering week 7 with 2 weeks left. We have a reminder that we have 4-day weeks, and our main run for our legislative days ends on March 10th. Veto day is March 27th. We have the deadline that passed for the new bills, except for appropriations. They can still introduce new bills, but remember, they're out of money right now, so that probably won't happen. Crossover day, though, is this Thursday, February 23rd, and that's what we sometimes call the House Origin Day as well. That's when a bill originates in one house, either the Senate or the House. It must cross over the rotunda into the opposing house. So if it's the Senate bill, it will need to cross over the rotunda and get to the House by Thursday, or it will have been deemed dead. And so for current issues, we have we have 388 bills that are in play. There are no new bills because those deadlines have passed, but it doesn't mean that they can't bring a new idea to a bill that has either died, been withdrawn, or they can just hog an existing bill. And so far, there has been 13 hogged bills. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about what does that mean. And that kind of goes back to several decades ago. SDSU wanted to build a hog barn. So they struck everything after the enacting clause and inserted a new body of language that was substantially different enough to change the scope of the bill and the sponsorship. So then they amended the bill that way. We call it hogging the bill because of the hog barn. That was the first bill this was done on. So once they amend or hog that bill in its entirety, then they need to amend the bill title because, of course, bill titles must be germane to the bill. So it's a unique way of introducing new legislation without having to have a new bill. So preliminary count so far on the 40 bills that the Public Policy Council has taken a position on is we've been very successful in our efforts so far. We have nearly half of those bills we've either killed we've had tabled or there's been three withdrawn. So we've done very successfully. And that credit goes to all of the health systems advocacy group. We all work together along with our contract lobbyists. We just met this morning, and we meet on leveraging our abilities, our expertise, our inside information on behalf of our members. And so we work on a very strong team together. We've also had 9 bills that we were advocated for, and they are either on the governor's desk, having his signature to be attached, or he's already signed on them. So that leaves about 13 or 14 bills left in play that we know of, because remember, there's always the potential for a hogged bill. But so far, we've done very well, and we're happy with our efforts on behalf of our members. And then I want to talk a little bit about a bill that has been kind of a thorn in our side for many years. It's Senate Bill 136, and that's the non-nurse midwifery bill. We have advocated, and very successfully for about a decade and a half, to kill this bill. This year, it's been a little tougher to kill, and we knew that going in. The Department of Health and the Board of Nursing helped draft that bill for the lay midwifery folks. So we can no longer argue, A, that it's poorly drafted, and B, we've lost some comrades who would oppose this bill by not having the Department of Health and the Board of Nursing oppose it. It also probably takes off the potential of the governor vetoing it down the road as well. So we've had some challenges. I have worked with and working with the Health Systems Advocacy Group, meeting with WPs numerous times before, trying to find some compromises. We found some where we could. The most important ones that we could put in the bill with her agreement, that we could get her to agree to, had to do with making or ensuring that there would be no non-nurse midwifery person who would enter our hospital and want to carry on that practice within. That is certainly happening in other states, and so we made it very clear through numerous agreed amendments, UWPs, to make that a very clear, clean line through definitions and through the provision of transport when the mother needs to leave and heading to an ER. The thing that we could never come to terms on, which is we had really wanted to have a very clear definition of a low-risk mother-baby unit. It has been a bone of contention, I think, for many years on this bill, and it certainly is the tension point of the bill. We could not find anybody in Senate Health who would even allow us to bring the amendment. And so we have it drafted and ready to go, but we have to have a sponsor. We're debating that now, as it's not been scheduled yet on the House side. Let me get you up to speed on what happened last week on the Senate side. It came through the Senate Health Committee. There was only one opposing vote. That was Senator Slohol. She chairs the Senate Health. But then when it hit the floor, we had a great ruling from Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, who said it required a 2/3 majority vote to get that through the Senate. That we only had, we were only 4 votes short of winning that when they gaveled in the Senate. But we lost some votes as Senator Stolholt advocated for the midwifery bill and persuaded some even of our no votes to move with her. So that count was a disappointment to us. We will continue on with our valiant efforts on the House side, but that was probably our most significant loss this far of the session. Also want to talk a little bit about budget revenue estimates. As you know, they're about $51 million short for FY 17 and 18. But the Public Policy Council met last week, and they wanted to affirm our position about the governor's recommended budget of 1% increase plus year two of the targeted increases for that 3-year plan. But we still have some concern. So we've had our team here with Sadaho has created some great talking points, and Scott has worked with the Department of Health with Kim Elzmorizen, and Scott is working, contacting our CEOs now, and we'll have our CEOs who reside in legislative districts where the appropriators are elected from. They're already now, and some of you may be on the phone, are already now contacting those appropriators with those speaking points, because even though they won't vote on this bill until near the end of the session, pardon me, the phone was buzzing, near the end of the session, then they're making decisions now about whose increase will be cut. So we want to make sure we're putting a strong effort and arguments toward why it shouldn't be the providers. I want to talk a little bit about Senate Bill 147. That is a bill that is hogged, but it's favorable, and that really is just to establish a process for periodic review of provider rate reimbursements. That Public Policy Council did support that last week. And then I want to move on to future issues, if I may. Just to also let you know, with Senate Bill 136, as we move forward with this non-nurse midwifery bill, we have, with our Sadaho team, we've developed some advocacy alerts. We'll be contacting those of you when that bill gets scheduled. It has not been calendared on the House side. Being crossover week, it is at crossover from its House of Origin. It's now just sitting on the House side waiting for the House to clear its docket, which, frankly, the House is very much behind at this point in the session. So they'll have a few late nights, we suspect, later this week. And then also we wanted to let you know that we'll be having advocacy alerts sent out to by all of our members about the governor's bill with those speaking points. Those have already been developed as well. So we'll be contacting you and letting you, encouraging you to contact your appropriators. It's the appropriators who will vote on this ultimately and make those decisions. Usually when the budget bill then comes to the House, they don't open the bill, so to speak. They just simply vote on an up or down vote on what the appropriators have decided. So now is the time to contact our appropriators. And we wanted to encourage you for those Cracker Barrels to talk budget. If you're going to Cracker Barrels this weekend, Brandon has one, Huron, Spearfish, Sioux Falls, Yankton, Aberdeen, and Rapid City all have Cracker Barrels this weekend, along with some other towns as well. Please check our website. It'll be a complete list of where they are, what time they are, and the districts that will be represented there. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm going to turn this back to Scott.
Thanks, Deborah. And operator, we're going to go ahead and open it up for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0 followed by a 1 now. Please hold for a moment as our system compiles your responses. As a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question by pressing 01 now. And it appears there are no questions at this time.
Thank you, operator. All right, thanks, everyone. And we hope that you enjoy the weather again, and we'll see you soon. Reminder that this is our all-district meeting tonight, so the governor is going to be speaking this afternoon, and we'll be meeting with legislators. We have approximately 30 or so CEOs attending and about a dozen or so legislators. So we'll share some updates on the meeting and the information from the governor as soon as it comes out. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.